Shall we all pray? Lord, we pray as we come to your word now that you will speak to each and every one of us. Lord, help us to listen to your voice. Help us, Lord, to feel your presence and give us the grace and the faith, Lord, to respond and be those who gladly respond to your call to serve you in this our world. For Jesus Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Let us then look at Isaiah chapter 6 under two themes, the first one being time and place, and the second one, reaction and response. First of all, let us look at time and place. What Isaiah saw and heard that day took place at a particular time in history. We read that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was a very critical, dark time in the history of that country. King Uzziah was followed by international tension. The Assyrians posed a threat. On top of this, there were lots and lots of problems within the country itself. There was a huge gap between the rich and poor. There was corruption on every hand. Religion was dead, and its leaders did not speak God's word. So it was a very, very dark time when Isaiah came into the temple. Now, in thinking of that, how similar is it today? How similar is it today? As soon as we turn the television on, we're told that we're living in uncertain, dangerous times. And when something beyond thought could break out internationally. And so God calls you and me, speaks to you and me at a particular time in the history of our world. And he also speaks to us in a particular time in our world. There's two sorts of worlds, isn't there? There's our world, but there's the big world outside. And God is speaking to you and me in our small world, the world that we know well, we're very familiar with, our lives, the people we meet day by day. That is where he is speaking to you and me. And spiritually, of course, the world today is just like it was in Isaiah's time. It's a broken, fallen world where there is terrible misery and suffering. We know why it's happened. It's no great big secret. We know that it's broken and fallen because of people. Humanity has rejected God, the Almighty, and in doing that, our world is what it is today. And so we have Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan. And we feel overwhelmed, don't we? We say, well, what can I do? What can I do? I'm just little me in my little world. What can I do in the midst of all this? But there's two things we need to get hold of. I keep telling myself this, that we're in the service of the King. We're not in our own service. We are in his service. And because we're in his service, we are with him. He is with us. So we're not alone in the challenges that he places at our feet day by day. We're not alone. He is with us moment by moment. And not just that, but however insignificant, we might say, well, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? It's so small, it's so insignificant, it's just tiny. But we have to believe that he blesses it. He blesses even the most insignificant small thing. Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to one of my loved ones, you will receive a reward. And so that's it. It doesn't matter how big or otherwise it may be in terms of how the world sees things. He will bless it. He will bless it. So let us now go on to place. It happened in the temple. One day, Isaiah did what perhaps he always did, and he went to the temple. And he could never have imagined what would happen to him that day, what he saw and what he heard. He could never, never, ever imagined what would have happened when he became face to face with Almighty God himself. It was a religious place. It was a churchy place. And perhaps people think, well, that's where God speaks to people. It's only in churchy places. It's only in religious places where God speaks to people. But of course, we know it's not true. God speaks, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you and to me wherever we are, even in the most smallest and what might seem everyday situations. And that's wonderful to know, isn't it? That he came face to face with his living God. And he saw himself as he was when he heard God's voice. And he caught a glimpse of God himself in all his power and glory. And that's wonderful to know, isn't it? That God speaks to you today in time, wherever we are, this moment in time. This today will never, ever be repeated. Today is a one-off. It will never come again. And he speaks to you and to me, and though we feel alone and inadequate, nevertheless, he is with us. But being alone with God in the way that Isaiah was alone with God isn't easy. It's comforting, of course, and it's joyful and strengthening. But as we shall see from Isaiah, it can be difficult. It can be even disturbing. So there's two things that we read of here in this in these verses. We feel that we see the physical and the personal. We see that the temple itself was physically shaken. The very foundation of the place shook with the presence of God. And the doorposts, it said the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Such was the dynamic effect of God's presence in that place. But also, the impact upon Isaiah was very personal. Was very, very, very personal. The angels, the seraphims, flew backwards and forwards sort of thing, and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Why did the angels mention holiness and not say love or mercy or faithfulness? Well, we don't know. It may be because at that time, the nation and its leaders, the political leaders, the religious leaders, were anything but holy. And the whole nation had to grasp this fundamental truth that God was holy, pure, blameless, and he expects people to live in that particular way. It had a dynamic, disturbing effect upon Isaiah. He said, "I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Why? Because my eyes have seen the Lord, the King." Another version puts it, "I am finished, I am doomed." And that's, excuse me, one of the things that does happen. I'm sure it's happened in your experience and in my experience. When we come close to him, or when he comes close to us, we see ourselves as we really are. We see ourselves as we really are. in the context of his purity and his love and his grace, we see ourselves, and it ain't nice. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Sorry, it wasn't that. It was Peter. Peter, as you know, one day the Lord Jesus got his disciples together and said, right, how's the catching? They said, well, Lord, we've caught fish. We've tried all night and nothing's happened. And he said, lay the nets on one side. And they did so. And immediately they caught lots and lots of fish. And Peter realized that he was in the presence of the power and the holiness of God. And he said, away from me, Lord, for I am sinful. I am sinful. And he said, going back to Isaiah, I live among a people of unclean lips. Excuse me, unclean lips. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. That we do live among people just like ourselves. Now, once upon a time, people like you and me who go to church, people used to say, you remember, that lot thinks that we're better than us. But we don't do that anymore, do we? We don't do that anymore. We don't look down upon other people anymore. We've never done that. What they tend to do, of course, is that they tend to think that we're better than odd lot. We're odd people because we go to church every Sunday, say. But Isaiah says, I live amongst a people who are just exactly like me. People of unclean lips. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. I live in among people of unclean lips. And that's true, isn't it? By the grace and mercy of God, we would just be like anyone else, everybody else. So he confesses what he is. In the sight, in the presence of God, that he's no different from anybody else. He's just like them. And then he makes this wonderful confession. And then all of a sudden, God comes to him. Isn't that wonderful? The angels come to Isaiah because they knew, or God knew, what they needed. Then the seraphim flew to me. He touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched my mouth. Your guilt is atoned away for, taken away, and your sin atoned for. The release that he must have felt at that time. When he thought for a second, I've had it. There's just no way out. I'm completely ruined. My life is over. Then God came to him and ministered to his need, and his sin was atoned for. Now we New Testament Christians, if you like, know far, far, far more than Isaiah could have ever imagined of the mercy and love of God in Jesus Christ, our Saviour, upon the cross. That's what he did. And that's the great hope that we do have, that however great our need may be, how at times we might think, well, we're in a hopeless case. When we turn to the cross and what Christ has done for us, there is hope, there is cleansing, there is peace. And we can rejoice in that. Of course, forevermore. Let us finally look at the response that Isaiah made to the presence and holiness of God. God hasn't finished with him. Isn't that wonderful? God hasn't finished with him. He said, right, now I've got you. Now you're cleansed and forgiven. I've got something I want you to do. And so he came and spoke to him. And then Isaiah said, it was God who said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The Lord knows that the world at that time was in great, great need. And he said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then, without any hesitation, without saying, give me a few days to think about it, Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Send me. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. He was so taken up with the mercy and grace of God that he volunteered there and then on the spot. And that's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? However inadequate and all the rest of it we may be, God, Jesus, chooses ordinary people like you and me to live for him and to serve him even in our world today. It's absolutely amazing. But as Isaiah was to find out, it was never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy, this call to service. Because the Lord says to him, your message is going to be a difficult message. It's going to be a hard message. In fact, people will reject it time and time and time again. So it's not going to be easy. And of course, we've been told thousands of times over, haven't we, that being a Christian, being a servant, is never going to be easy. And Isaiah, at that point, when he's told this, his heart breaks. His heart breaks. And he's full of agony and pain. Because he says, for how long, Lord? How long is this going to go on for? The message that you've given me, the work that you want me to do, is such that it's agony. It's painful. There's got to be some end to it. But there's a wonderful ray of hope in this chapter, right at the very, very end. It's not easy to explain, but it's something like saying this, that out of the ruin and the darkness, there is hope. Something will grow. The holy seed will remain in the land. There will just be a very small number of people who will respond to what I'm saying, and they will grow and grow and grow. And that's the shining hope that we see in these verses here. So I'll just recap everything in a few seconds. Isaiah's journey to service then was long, and at times uncomfortable and very difficult. But even so, it ended in his glad surrender. Lord, send me. I'll go. You send me. It ended in glad surrender. And what Isaiah's story about service says to you and me this morning is this. God calls you and me to service here and now. Not to yesterday, not tomorrow, here and now, where we find ourselves, where we find ourselves tomorrow, in the everyday, in the now, he calls us. And he calls us irrespective of time or place. He is speaking to you and to me. And this is wonderful, isn't it? However inadequate, and we're bound to feel inadequate, we're bound to feel... What can I do? I'm so limited. I'm not a big person in this world. What can I do? He will always be with us, and he will give us the grace, all the resources we need in order to be servants. He will never leave us nor forsake us. One last thing. As I was preparing this talk, this message, a question came to my mind time and time and time again. And it's a pointed question. It's an uncomfortable question to me. And it's this: God is speaking. Are we listening? God spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah listened. And is it possible for us to keep coming here on Sunday and in our quiet times when we hear his voice, but we don't listen? We're not listening. So the challenge to us all, to you and to me this morning, is this: are we listening? Are we listening? May God give us the grace and the faith to respond to him and to learn from Isaiah's story and the example of our Lord and Saviour, the one that Isaiah called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and gladly surrender to him and give him our all when we say, as individuals and as a church, here am I, send me. Amen.